Hi, I'm Dave DeWitt, and today I'd like to talk about time and the nature of God. If we're going to do that, here's some questions we need to consider. Does God see time as a progression of events, or does he see time all at once, or both? Is God involved in time as part of time, or both? Are God and time a paradox or an antinomy? Apparent contradictions between logical conclusions, like sovereignty and free will. Did God create time at some point in time, or is time a part of God? Here's four theories that have been suggested concerning God and time. Theory number one, God experiences all time at the same time. Theologian Thayer Shedd states it this way, quote, God sees the end from the beginning, and hence for him there is no interval or sequence between the end and the beginning. With Shedd's idea, there would be no past, present, or future with God. For example, with God storing up wrath or God having patience. If God sees all the time instantaneously and simultaneously, where there's no interval or sequence between the end and the beginning, then in what sense is the first sin and then a repentance of sin? Also, the birth, life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus would all be seen by God at the same time. It would also mean that God sees us as saved and unsaved at the same time, and that's impossible. The gospel, from God's perspective, requires a passing of time. In the Bible, we only know about God acting in present time. He never jumps forward in time or goes back in time to do a do-over. For example, the people of Noah's day were only evil continually, and God regretted he'd made man. But he did not go back into the Garden of Eden and create something other than man to be a caretaker of the earth. He judged man in that present time by telling Noah to build an ark. Then 120 years later, he created a flood at that present time. All the judgments of God are God dealing with the past and the present, not going back into the future. Another problem arises in the area of prayer. If God experiences all time at the same time, then he does not hear our prayers in the present time and then answer them in the future time. He'd hear and answer in one timeless moment. But that does not sound like that's what the Bible intends for us to understand. When Jesus said, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him," in Matthew 6:8, he did not mean before in the sense of a place on a static ribbon of events. He was referring to a sequence of events. First he knows, then we ask, then he answers. Jesus is talking about an omniscience of God, not the timelessness of God. Jesus made this comment before he gave what we call the Lord's Prayer. That indicates a succession of time between our prayer for something, such as "Do not lead us into temptation," and his answer to deliver us from evil. It seems like, from God's perspective, these happen in a sequence of time, not all at once, simultaneously. James 5:16 says the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. That sounds like the effective prayer is in the past time from what it accomplishes. Theory number two, God is outside of time. It seems to be a prominent view in the church through the Middle Ages. Crocker reports, quote, "From Augustine through Aquinas, the major thinkers argued that God was not in time at all. They thought of God as eternal, in the sense that he is atemporal, without any connection to time." Many of these church fathers seem to think that the eternality of God eliminated any possibility of God seeing time sequentially. They saw eternality as something beyond time, not just an endless duration of it. But as we've seen, the Bible is filled with references to God involved in time, and there's no references which separate God from time. Even his predetermined plan involves time. Acts 1:7, and he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Theory number three, God is both involved in time and outside of time at the same time. Wayne Grudem writes, in his own being, God is timeless. He does not experience a succession of moments. Before God created the world, there was no passage of time. That's a close quote. We've already discussed the inaccuracy of the claim, before God created the world, there was no passage of time. Grudem also does not deal with the contradiction between saying God is involved in time and God does not experience a succession of moments. If God has no succession of moments, then in what sense is he involved in our lives? Say, for example, in our discipline, or our care for our daily needs, or hearing our prayers. Either God is involved in the movement of our lives, or he's not. The way they get around that dilemma is to treat it as another paradox or antinomy, like unity and trinity and predestination, free will. But it's not the same. With an antinomy, logic is applied to observations which lead to rational conclusions which contradict each other. In this case, the Bible never says God is apart from time. There's no biblical statement of God outside of time to observe and examine with logic. Theory number four, God is eternal in that he's everlasting, not temporal. In my opinion, this is the best theory. This theory says God is always involved in every present moment of all time, not apart from time. Although it's hard to be dogmatic, and we should always remain teachable if there's a better theory, this view seems preferable. It seems God is in time, not apart from time. Temporal, not atemporal. It's unnecessary to say God was involved in the past time because he was involved in it when it was present time. And to say God is involved in future time because he'll be involved in it when the future becomes present time. It's sufficient to say God is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. God can be sovereign over time and predetermine the future without being apart from time. Psalm 90, verses 2 to 4. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, your God. Psalm 93, verse 2. Your throne is established from old, you are from everlasting. Both Moses in Psalm 90 and the psalmist in Psalm 93 call God everlasting. The word everlasting indicates time without end, not an existence outside of time. These psalms say God existed before the creation of anything he created, not that time did not exist until God began creating. Psalm 102 says, your years will not come to an end. Here the psalmist pictures God as having years. God's years extend throughout all generations and will not come to an end. Even if years is a metaphor, the word describes God as everlasting, not timeless. 2 Peter 3, 8-10. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, brethren, that with the Lord a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Peter sees God as patient with time, using time by his own schedule, but not apart from time. There are three things we should notice about this passage. First, Peter did not say with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Greek word for as or like is in the original text. It's not just a translator's addition. Peter is giving us a metaphorical comparison about God's use of time. He's not saying God is atemporal, apart from time. And second, Peter's assuming God uses the same time designations as we do, days and years. Once again, God is involved in time, not apart from time. Third, the context is about God not being subject to our schedule. Peter is answering the critical question, where's the promise of his coming? He is saying we cannot schedule God's events. His coming will be on his own time. Tom Constable writes, quote, this verse does not mean that God operates in a timeless state. The idea of a timeless existence is Platonic, not biblical. God's relation to time is different from ours since he's eternal, but this does not mean eternality will be timeless. Eternity is endless, not separated from time. Revelation 1:8 reads, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. God describes his eternality in terms of past, present, and future. Is, was, is to come. I suspect the reason many Christians want to say God created time is because clearly God is not in submission to time. That would mean there's something over God which God is not sovereign, and that's impossible. It's certainly possible and reasonable to conclude that God created time, sometime before time in eternity past. But we have no logical way to understand that, and the Bible never mentions it. The Bible describes God's eternality as everlasting, always existing, not atemporal or apart from time. We can also not say God is limited by time, but it seems God has chosen to restrict himself to operate in present time. But remember, restrictions are not limitations, as his being restricted to holiness, truth, and consistency. These are restrictions that are not limitations. Summary and conclusion. It seems we cannot exhaustively describe time or be dogmatic when it occurs to the nature of God as related to time. But there are many things, I found seven things, we can know and we should have closely in mind as we think about the nature, duration, and involvement of God in time. First, time can be defined as the progress of existence. Time requires something to exist and something to be moving. Second, time is unavoidable. Third, it is not a static timeline of events. Time consists of a past which no longer exists, a present which exists, and a future which does not yet exist. Four, only the present exists. Linear, not cyclical. The present creates history. Number six, time is not restricted to the creation of our cosmos. And seven, we can never exhaustively describe God's involvement in time, but from the Bible we can conclude he is never in subjection to time as if time somehow limited God. He is never described as operating outside of time or apart from time. He's not atemporal. He predetermines what happens in time, but he never goes back or forward in time. And he is eternal in that he never runs out of time, nor that he is outside of time. God's eternality is expressed as his being everlasting, not timeless. Although many Christian songs say incorrect things about God, such as, "In heaven time will be no more," one song is accurate. The last stanzas of Amazing Grace got it right. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing his praise than when we first began. Thank you for listening. A longer paper on this subject with footnotes and quotes is available on our website, relationalconcepts.org.